Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on? Happy Friday as we are posting this onto the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. I assume a lot of you will be listening over the weekend, and we do have a treat for you today. I'm excited. Earlier this morning, I sat down and talked, obviously over the phone, with Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell about what the program is doing during these trying times. And just if you've heard being coach before, we often will dive into other things, philosophy, leadership, business, all those things that we're interested in together. And we do a lot of that as, you know, the whole world is kind of working together to defeat the coronavirus and COVID-19. And I think Matt gives some great perspective, and wouldn't expect anything less. But today's podcast, I want to give a shout out to our friends at the Iowa State University Foundation. They've got a great campaign going on right now. It's called Cyclone Strong, and Cyclone Fanatic is jumping in on their cause. So basically, I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of like international type students who are stuck on campus right now, and they can't have jobs. They need help. They need help just for groceries and paying their rent and all that stuff. The Iowa State University Foundation has a Cyclone Strong campaign right now where you can give. Just go to the Iowa State University Foundation's website and you can give money to and give these donations to help these students who are on campus right now. It's really a cool thing. And we just put out a new brand of shirts. It's called Cyclones Helping Cyclones, and we are giving the proceeds from these shirt sales to the foundation to help those affected and those who are on campus and really just stuck right now with not a lot of hope. And so these, if you buy one of these shirts, the proceeds after, you know, our cost of printing and sending them out, all that stuff, the proceeds will be going to actual students on Iowa State University's campus through the Iowa State University Foundation and their Cyclone Strong campaign. So you can learn more about that. Again, go to the foundation's website, foundation.iastate.edu, and you can get more information if you would like more info on that. But again, today's podcast, I talked with Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell. We start off with heavy on, you know, what the football program is like during this time, and then we get more into the other stuff as far as, you know, what coach and his family have been doing to occupy time. And you get to know a little bit more about coach, the man himself. So here we go. My recent conversation with Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. So when all this stuff started to go down, one of the first people I thought of was Iowa State's head football coach, Matt Campbell. And we've texted a few times, but I haven't really gotten to talk to him. First of all, thank you for taking time away from your family today to talk. But when all this first started to happen, I was like, man, what's Campbell going to do? Like, Campbell's so like regimented. You seem like a very scheduled individual. You seem very organized. And I was like, I don't want to say I was worried about you, man, but I was like, how is Campbell going to handle this? What have you been up to, man? Have you been staying busy?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Chris. And you know,
Hey, it's been a fascinating journey, to be honest with you. And I know it has for everybody listening and everybody out there. And, you know, I think from my end of it, it has been, opportunity, quite honestly, as I looked at it, is the opportunity to grow. And, you know, we went into this at a really unique time. Obviously, we were on the front end of what would have been our spring break. And, I think we really kind of had a pulse of what was happening that Thursday before our football team was ready to head out to spring break. And, you know, our coaches were ready to leave. And so, you know, I with our football team, I think it at least gave us a little chance to lay the groundwork that, hey, we were going to have to find a new normal here for a while. And we were going to have to come up with a great plan of figuring that out. And, you know, once you guys get done with spring break, we'll have an idea of what that looks like and feels like. And then, you know, with our coaches, it was that same opportunity to be able to, kind of create a new normal. And, you know, my challenge to our staff a little bit in our last staff meeting before we left was, you know, one of the things that I had to look at it as a positive was we're going to have some time apart right now. And the biggest thing that I felt like that we've got the opportunity to do is to get better. And, you know, in a way it was almost an opportunity, you know, and for all of us, get better at something, whether, you know, in our world, it's always going 100 miles an hour. We never have a chance to step back and evaluate our processes or evaluate us. And, you know, it's like I told our staff, maybe it's some of us, we got to be better fathers. We got to be better husbands because of what we've been going 100 miles an hour. Maybe it's, we got to be a better coach with our players in its player relationship or a better technician or at X's and O's. But whatever it is, this is going to give us an opportunity that if we play our cards right and we really do our due diligence and evaluate ourselves, it's going to give us a chance to grow and get better. And, I've really looked at it as a positive. And, you know, we took a week there during spring break to create our new normal. And then we've been just pounding away at it for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I think a lot of that new normal has been centered around, you know, taking care of our players, their health and their safety and their well-being, and then finding a way for them to get better academically and athletically. And I'll be honest with you, I've really enjoyed it. I think it's allowed us to be more intimate. It's allowed us to have great conversation. And, it's been an area where I feel like we've been able to just grow. And, I think the challenge will be continuing to grow as tough times continue to come our way. But, boy, if there's a line of communication and you're continuing to build trust within the organization and with your people, then I think you can thrive through anything.
So have you just been using, like, FaceTime or Zoom or like one of those, you know, this new technology to communicate with these guys?
Yeah, you know, we really have. We've actually staff met every morning, through the last couple of weeks, and we've done it through, you know, a Zoom app that we're able to use as a staff, which has been great. And then, you know, really we kind of divided up our team and each coach having a responsibility for, you know, a group of players and, you know, just having a personal touch with each one of our kids on a day in, day out basis. And, you know, and then doing the same thing in some of the other areas. Academics is doing the same thing with our kids, strength and conditioning, doing the same thing with our kids. And so, you know, having the ability to connect with them, see them. And then, you know, we kind of gradually moved then into some group settings this week where, you know, doing some position meetings and just connecting with our kids. And I think that's, I know it's, you know, this word of like social distancing, but I almost feel like it's, you know, I read a great thing. It should be called physical distancing, but staying socially connected. And I think this ability for our kids to stay connected in a world right now that almost wants to create isolation, you know, and is forcing you to create isolation, you know, I still think that connection's critical. And I think we've done a really good job of finding unique ways to be able to do that with our team.
I have a theory, and I have no idea, and we won't know for months if this is going to be true or not, but you've been there where where you became the head coach of a brand new program. With Toledo, you were promoted. But how much more difficult would this be? Go back to like 2016 when you're starting at Iowa State. Like, I feel like the programs right now with like established cultures, and like you talk a lot about player driven leadership. I mean, you've got a much more veteran team now than you did even a year ago. I don't want to say you have an advantage because everybody's kind of playing on the same playing field here, but how much more difficult would it be, Matt, for you in like year one or even year two of your program to go through something like this compared to where the program is at right now?
Well, I think if you believe that culture is important and that creating great habits daily are critical to success, then I think that, you know, what I would tell you, I think it's imperative. And in our program, which is very much built on culture and creating great habits and, you know, and having a process to become the best version of yourself, it's a huge indicator for us, you know. And I told our team, like, I almost was thrilled for this challenge of, you know what, like, we've faced so much adversity over the last 4 years here, and we've had to handle adversity and learn how to handle adversity, and we failed and we've succeeded with it at times, but we've grown from it every time. And what another amazing test for our culture is, you know, because somebody's going to, you know, we're going to get back to normal as a society. And I think this has the ability, you know, to be said in everything in life. Like, somebody's going to thrive through this. Some sports team's going to have the ability to stay the course and stay connected and continue to push forward. And so, you know, I think it would have been really hard for us to do that in year one and two, because we were just building the fabrics of what our daily habits look like to be successful, who we really were, what we stood for. And, you know, again, I really believe in the last 2 years, we've just continued to pound away at that process. And yes, sometimes the results have been positive, and sometimes, you know, maybe the results weren't exactly what we wanted, but man, we've continued to grow. And, you know, to me, I told our team, like, we've got the ability to thrive through this. And, you know, I've been really proud of how we have since. But I do agree with you, Chris. I think we would have really struggled early on in our tenure to be able to work through this, just because the habits and the expectations had not been set in stone like they are maybe today in our program.
How has this whole process like affected the recruiting trail? Because so much more recruiting is done right now. I mean, I remember back in the old days when I started, it was all about camps, right? You had to get guys on camps, and then that's really where it picked up, and then they would sign on the National Signing Day. Well, now we have the new signing period. A lot of these classes will be full before camps even start. Like, this is generally a very busy time for you. I mean, you're going through spring, but I guess how is it just using the technology? Are you on the phone more? What have you seen from where you sit?
Yeah, honestly, I've loved it. I mean, to me, I think it's made us better recruiters. It's forced us to be new and creative and innovative in recruiting. And, you know, I think, again, it's given us a chance to really grow. Like, number one, our own system internally of evaluation. It's really, I said this to our staff, it's almost, you know, if you were a Division III football coach, you used to have to recruit not leaving your campus. And, you know, like, there's a really good chance that we're going to sign this signing class without a camp, you know, in the summer, without going to see these guys in the spring. And let's not use this as an excuse of why we wouldn't have a great class, but let's use this as an advantage to, man, watch more film, continue to watch game film, have great conversations. You know, I think, you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed the opportunity to maybe get on Zoom calls with parents at night and players, and you can see how a young man interacts with his mom and his dad, or with his mom, or how he interacts and answers questions can tell you a lot about what his character is and who he is. And, you know, be honest with you, I feel like just in even our 3-week setting, we've learned more about kids and we've been more thorough in recruiting than maybe we ever have. And so to me, I've almost enjoyed it more than a lot of times in recruiting, because it's allowed what I really love. And that's the ability to find out what makes a young person tick. What's their why? Do they fit our culture? And then really kind of ingraining, I love watching video. So now I get to really watch, maybe it's now watching 3 or 4 games rather than just 1 or 2 games or just a highlight video. And you can really figure out, you know, where does this guy fit? Is this person a great fit for your program? So, you know, I think what you're doing right now is really what you would have done in spring and in the summer combined. And you just got to find, you know, unique ways to evaluate some of the metrics that you would evaluate it in a camp setting, or you would evaluate it, honestly, in the spring recruiting trail. And so that's really been our thought process, and it's really been enjoyable, to be honest.
All right. You've been so have you, like, left your house, or are you just stuck? Are you just at home 24/7?
Yeah, my wife's not letting anybody leave. So, no, I'm 24/7 here, at least. Now we've been out walking and we've been able to get outside, but really have not, other than that, really haven't left our neighborhood.
So what do you, like, what's a day like for you right now? What time do you wake up? What do you do? How much do you work? How much are you with kids? How are we doing this?
Yeah, well, right now, up around 5:30, you know, I still get up and work out somehow, some way, in the morning. You know, I'll read for about 45 minutes. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to get on a staff meeting and kind of get prepared for the day, you know, from about 8 to 9:30. And then from about 9:30 to noon, you know, it's starting in the recruiting world, whether it's watching video, whether it's connecting with our own players, and whether it's setting up, you know, the evening phone calls with some of our recruits personally. And then, you know, the best positive for me is 12 to 1 has kind of been my, like, I'm in charge of recess with the Campbell kids. So, you know, my wife's been kind of like teaching. We've had a school setting here from in the mornings. Kids are up ready to rock and roll and starting school around 9, and I'm in charge of recess. So we've been learning how to win. We've been learning how to lose. We've been learning how to compete, which has been, you know, every day usually ends with somebody crying by about 1 o'clock. And then, I go back to work and hand them off to my wife till dinner time about 5 o'clock. So, you know, that's kind of been our new normal. And about 1 to 5, it's been, again, back to recruiting, you know, watching a little bit of football video, and then really, you know, kind of trying to make sure we're doing everything with our own players that possibly needs to get done.
So what does recess consist of?
Well, you know, for the first week and a half, we were in basketball. You know, we got one of those adjustable hoops outside. So, you know, it's been 3-on-3, me, my 6-year-old and 4-year-old versus my, 10, 12-year-old daughter and my wife. And so that's been fascinating to watch the competition of that fester. And then we've kind of moved on to some batting practice here over the last couple of days, in terms of we got batting the balls out. We've been doing that. And then we've got a nice little hill in the backyard, and every day ends with a, you know, some hill sprints. So, you know, it's been good. Yeah, you know what? We're trying to get it done and accomplished here in the Campbell house, but, and really just trying to wear them out, Chris, so they go to bed at a decent time at night.
I hear you there. So my wife has still been working a lot. She's actually worked more because there's other people. The clinic is open. Obviously they're considered essential. And, so she's been in there a lot more than she normally is because of, just other circumstances there. Anyways, I've really had to adopt the wearing them out thing with the 5-year-old.
Yes. Yeah. You got to get Cammy on the hills. You know what I mean?
Well, we've been throwing her in the, what I started to do with the last couple of days is I throw her in the backyard with the dog and basically just tell her to chase the dog. And then that fires him up and he starts chasing her and she's running. Yeah. It's
boy, you're killing two birds with one stone right there.
You're not kidding. But it is, it's like this, fascinating social experiment that everybody, because there's so many people that are still you know, working. Like I'm trying to run a company and do a radio show and watch a 6 month old and a 5 year old all at the same time. And there's just so many people who are trying to like establish this new normal, like you're talking about.
No, and honestly, I know I'm probably more of an optimist in a lot of things, but I think the thing that I've enjoyed and you take for granted, and I think you know this too, because I know how you work, is you know, that ability to be home and be connected and be present. And, you know, I think it's forcing us to do that, you know, whether it's with your wife or with it's your kids or, you know, I think it's forcing some of those things that you do take for granted in the pace of life that we live and we go. And you know, I think those are things that I've seen as positive, but I certainly also look out there and I see the real challenges too. And, you know, I think that's a fine balance, but I know from my end, the value of at least being home and being present in my family's life, there's been some real joy and some real growth for me, quite honestly. And I've really enjoyed that.
I'm the same way. I let me ask you this, like just philosophically. So you said earlier, and I wholeheartedly agree, like we're going to get back to normal at some point. We don't know when, but at some point. Do you think though that like we're going to have real changes in not only society, but like our line of work, like the athletics line of work? And, or do you think that like, in 2 years, like it's all going to go back to normal? Or do you think that we can all like as a society take like the positives from this and maybe, I don't know, use that to grow once this is all over and appreciate things more and just, you know, maybe change things up a little bit?
No, I think it's going to create a lot of change. And I think people are going to create a new way of normal, of doing things that maybe are a lot more highly efficient and more highly successful in terms of this time, because it's demanding that happen. And I really feel, you know, that it's going to be fascinating to see when what we perceive as normal come back, the type of lifestyle that comes back with it. And what are the social changes? What are the changes from a positive that come with it? And I really do. I just think this time is forcing a society that goes at warp speed to take a step back and really evaluate, because that's all you have, is you have the time to sit and evaluate. And, you know, and like I said earlier, I think some people will really take this, and some industries will take this time, and they'll get better, and they'll find a more efficient way to do things. They'll find a way to get better. And those are the people that'll thrive and create the changes that are going to be really positive going forward. So, I'm fascinated by when we come out of this, when we get back to what normal has maybe at least looked like as we know normal, what kind of changes are going to be created into this new normal that we begin to live in.
So you tipped me off to the book Stillness is the Key. It was the last time we got together. That I was finishing that right as this started. And that it was kind of eerie, like the message of that book compared to what we're doing now.
I mean, Chris, the last section of it, of Stillness is the Key, and to be honest with you, I went back the first week that this started and reread the book. And
oh, wow.
It's eerie. That book is powerful. And, you know, I for whatever reason, I love, and like I said, I love to read, and it's one of my great joys in life. And, you know, that book has been like, I actually ordered it for our staff and, you know, made sure that everybody got it, because I think it almost explains this ability to personally grow with these times. And one of the best books I've read in a long time, and almost exactly fitting. And I would recommend it to anybody, you know, that's listening to us right now, that's struggling or trying to find a positive way through this. I think it's a really powerful read.
Yeah. I mean, it basically, to sum it up, I mean, like the biggest takeaway I had from it is our lives are so chaotic that we don't ever take time to just sit there and process.
Right. And I think, no doubt. And I think the ability to connect ourselves mentally, spiritually, physically, to be the best version of ourselves every day, and how critical that is to our success. And then what is success? And how do you define success? And I think a book that ties all those areas together, you know, and I it was, again, it was a book for me that I read towards the end of our football season that was a steadying ship for me. And, you know, I think one that I revisited as soon as this started to come, because I think it allowed me to really evaluate myself and steady the ship.
So what else have you been reading or watching? Well, did you turn on Tiger King yet, like I told you to?
Not yet, but I see the hype around it, and so we'll get there at some point. Okay. I can promise you that. Okay. I can promise you. You know, the books wise, I've been, right now I'm deep in Sacred Hoops by Phil Jackson. You know, it's been a great read so far, which is going to get me going, I know, for this Michael Jordan 10-piece series that's coming. But it's been a great book so far. I finished What Makes the Great Great by Dennis Kimbrough, which I thought was a really, really good book. And, you know, for anybody out there, Inside Out Coaching by Joe Erman, two books that I thought were outstanding. And, you know, right now on Sacred Hoops. So that's kind of my reading thoughts. And then in the world of any sort of television, really where we've been as a Campbell family, it's been, you know, probably Amazon Prime, and it's been, Steve Urkel. And, wow. So that's, let me tell you, Family Matters, I think.
Yeah.
Family Matters. And what are we on season? Heading on to season four, but you know, for the Campbell kids, it's been a blast, great series, well done. And so we usually get two or three of those a night.
So this is fascinating to me. Like, okay, so I'll like try and show Cameron a like movie from like my childhood, and she'll oftentimes look at it like, well, this is horrible, like a animated one, you know. Because they're so used to the technology and stuff now. So do your kids, like, does Urkel translate to today's adolescent? I guess is the way I would pose that question.
No, it has. You know, it's been really good. You forget how good, you know, TGIF used to be back in the day.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And a matter of fact, what we watched in the summer that led us into this was we watched all the Saved by the Bell. So, you know, yeah. So my girls have thought it was really good. You know, the boys, some of it's a little bit over their head, but they've enjoyed it. But yeah, that's where we've been. And then, you know, we've been into, I was never into all these, the comic book characters or all these superheroes, but my boys are. So we've been, you know, we were Iron Man 1. Spider-Man, we've been hitting all those on the weekend a little bit. So, which have actually been pretty good, and they've been good for me to watch. But, yeah, so that's been our watch series as a family a little bit.
Okay. Well, when the kids go to bed, you and Erica, you have to do the Tiger King.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it. So believe me, I'm going to work on that this weekend.
Yeah. It's not like, I promise you, you guys will flip it on and you're going to be like, oh, okay, we got to do one more before we go to bed. No, maybe we got to do, there's only seven of them, so it's not much of a commitment, but it's fascinating.
Now, is it as good, Chris, as my political series that I had you watch in terms of Netflix?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's right. House of Cards that you're referencing.
Yeah.
And, it's just very different because this is real life, but you're going to watch it and you're not going to believe it's real life. And then you're going to like want to learn more about this because it's crazy. It will be so crazy to you that like things like this actually exist in our world.
All right, I'm into it. But now some would say maybe we're living out the real House of Cards right now.
I would think so too.
Yeah, all right.
I would think so too. And like that's how I watched that show, because it's how you told me to. And you're like, think about like what like could be going on behind the scenes. So now like anytime I watch like any of the political stuff, I'm like, all right, who's you know, Kevin Spacey behind the scenes right now pulling the trigger on this?
No doubt.
Okay. So you've got that going on. We're looking ahead now, and there's just a lot of talk on like the season and stuff. I guess what I'm curious of, and I thought Jamie gave it, when we played it on our show and Rob and Jared covered it well yesterday, I thought on Cyclone Fanatic, I thought Jamie had a really nice press conference yesterday, mapped a lot of things out. But we don't really have a clue about football season. Are you planning on like some normalcy, or do you guys have, like, are you planning for multiple different scenarios? I guess, are you just waiting? Like, how is it?
Yeah,
leader of a program, how do you approach that?
Yeah, I think from our end, you're just constantly talking about different scenarios, you know, and I think the thing that you try not to do is speculate, because every day it's changing and every day is a different day. And so, you know, I think that you have to have the reality, though, to sit back and say, well, our, you know, normal's not coming at the end of April. And, you know, time will tell when or what this is going to look like. And, you know, I think more of our thought processes are, well, geez, if you get back in June or you got back in July, you know, what would you need? How would you have to be able to function? And what are some of the things that we're going to have to, what are going to be, you know, critical for us to be successful? You know, when we get the opportunity that a date gets said that we can bring our kids back to campus and or, you know, a football season is going to occur. So, and again, I'm an optimist. And so I believe football is going to get played. I do. Do you have any factor on that? You don't. And, you know, you just keep, I think you always constantly are continuing to try to, you know, maybe, you know, evaluate every situation. But I think we've certainly left of, boy, we're going to get everybody back in May, or you're going to get everybody back in April. And now just saying, if we get back in June or we get back in July, and we're going to play a football season that's going to start in September, what would that look like? And what are some of the things that we would have to be prepared for? That way we're not surprised, or we're not left in the dark in terms of preparing for all those scenarios. So I think that's been a lot of our conversation. And again, that's why even with our own players, how do we make sure we're just getting better? Let's not worry about so much about scheme or these things. Yeah. Let's really put the time on, man, how do we get better in our daily habits? How do we make sure our kids are healthy? How do we make sure, you know, we create great routine in their day-to-day life? Because again, it's the same thing with our players. Like, some teams will, some players will, and some won't. And when this slow motion kicks into gear, it's going to be in fast forward, and those that did will shine and those that didn't will get exposed. And so, you know, I think those are things that, those are conversations and thoughts that we continue to have within our organization.
Yeah. I think you and I, based off of what you just said, kind of view this the same way. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what it'll look like. I'm not a scientist, but I am paying close attention to all this. And I don't know, Matt, like, I just feel like, I mean, this is the first time in my lifetime, 35, probably for you too. How old are you now? 40?
40, yep.
Like, where I can remember everybody who's smart, right? And everybody with money all has the same goal. Like, we're all trying to figure this thing out. As far as, like, I don't know if it's a vaccine or, like, they're dumping every bit of money, all the smart people, we're all working for one thing. And I think it's really easy to, because right now, like, we're on the way up, right? If you believe in the curve and all that stuff, like, it's getting worse by the day. Well, at some point we're going to start going back downhill. And, like, I don't know, like, I'm a big believer in just human beings. And when you're all working together towards the same cause, like, I don't have any science to back this up. I have faith, though, in human ingenuity and getting something, like, if it's mass testing, if it is a vaccine, if it's, you know, antibody responses so we can find out who's had this and all that stuff. I have faith in human beings that we're going to get this figured out. And maybe the football season is a little bit different than normal, but I don't know. I can't imagine a world where we're not playing college football next year.
No, and I think the part for you, Chris, is I'm an optimist too, and I'm a believer in a lot of what you said, and you know, I think for our society today, and, you know, for people in our generation and younger, you know, our grandparents went through really hard things, and our society hasn't, in maybe individually, collectively, we've gone through hard things, but our society, this hasn't had to step up into some of these, what World War II looked like or the Great Depression looked like. And in the reality, it's forcing us to come together, and it's forcing us to be great citizens, and it's forcing us to appreciate the freedoms and some of the things that we have in this country. And, you know, I think the reality of it is, you know, it's like I told our guys, you know, I think at early on stages for me, it's like, you know, when you're 18 to 40, you sometimes you think you're invincible, and until your freedoms get taken away and until you can't control your surroundings, you understand that invincibility isn't really there. And now all of a sudden, it's forcing some of these things to really occur. And so I think it's a fascinating time. I think it's exposing leadership, those who will lead and those who won't. You know, I think it's you know, can you be a great citizen? Can you be a great human? You know, what's the human spirit look like? And I'm a big believer in that. So, I know that doesn't maybe answer the question of how I see the football season looking or what it'll look like, but I do know we'll get through this. I know we will, and I really believe in a total environment, we're going to have the ability to come out at the other side of this better and grow from it in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I just think it's like I said before, it's a fascinating time. And from a football standpoint, you know, whatever comes of it, and I do believe we'll play football at some point, whatever comes of it, you know, that'll be a unique challenge to all of us, is to be prepared, you know, for that opportunity and those times when they come our way.
There's part of me that's intrigued by a winter football season in Ames.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. So, you know, just make sure we get to play those Texas schools early, you know, in that winter season. Make sure they're scheduled early on that schedule.
You brought up, by the way, just one more TV recommendation for you. History just came out with a new docuseries on the World Wars. Totally worth your time.
All right, I'm on it. You know me. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I knew it would be. I forgot to tell you that earlier. And then the last question I had, this is one of our favorite times of the year. I'm going to miss WrestleMania in front of 120,000 people or whatever. Have you and the boys been keeping up on the WrestleMania that's coming up this weekend?
Listen, Chris, let me tell you this, and you would appreciate this better than anybody. Is that so? I didn't even realize that there's WWE.com, okay, and you can get on, and you, right now there's a 30-day free subscription, and you can go back and you can, for free, you can watch all the SummerSlams, all the WrestleManias, every main event for like the last 20 years. So one of the huge pauses that me and the boys now this has caused some heartfelt matches between Rudy and Rocco. But what we've been able to do is go back. We've had a great time. The evolution of the Undertaker, the Ultimate Warrior. This has been some great teaching moments, to be honest with you, in our WWF/WWE fanhood. So, you know, we've been really spending a lot more of our time in the past than in the present.
That's good, because it sucks right now. Like, there's certain things, like I could easily turn on, like, I'm a Braves fan, right? I could easily turn on a Braves game with no crowd and I could enjoy it. Like, it really wouldn't even faze me. I even think I could watch the NBA playoffs if they're playing like a small arena and we're miking up these guys. Like, I think it could be very entertaining as long as they're, you know, playing hard and doing all that stuff. The WWE with no crowd does not translate. Have you seen it at all?
I haven't seen it
horrible.
At all.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to, I'm doing a sponsorship right now for WWE.com, man. You can 30-day trial. I should get some proceeds from this, but, Yeah, the WWE.com deal. But I'm telling you that we've been working through our history lessons on that. So that it's been good stuff.
Are they do they tend to lean Undertaker, Triple H, Stone Cold, or The Rock? I mean, those were the, and I guess Shawn Michaels, you had to just throw DX together. Where do your boys lean?
Well, my guy Rudy, he's kind of like the pretty boy. He likes the Rock, okay. But my guy Rocco, he's total Stone Cold, man. He's ready to rock and roll for sure.
Man, it sounds like you guys are doing okay over at the Campbell House. Then we're just playing basketball, doing some fishing, and watching WWE Network. That's perfect quarantine right there.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. And like I said, I know the reality of it is that I know our community and, you know, the people listening, you know, a lot of people going through a lot right now. And certainly from my end, you know, our hearts and prayers go out to everybody. And the reality of it is I know there's tough times ahead, but I know we'll get through it. And I know what we've got, the courage and the society. And, you know, there's no place I'd rather be than here to be able to get through tough times.
Well said. Thank you for your time, my friend.
All right, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.